God's way, and it's going to be great. Well, Pastor's already been preaching false doctrine, so I can only do better from here. One time, when I was in Bible college, my mom, I was so excited. We had my first preaching class, and we had to record our preaching on VHS tapes to self-evaluate ourselves, which is miserable. And I remember I brought it home to my mom. I was so excited to show her, you know, this big college education. I'm pursuing God's call. Here's my first sermon on tape. I gave it to my mom. I said, "Mom, did you watch it?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "What'd you think?" And she said, "It was interesting." So mom's in the house today, and so I get to preach here. Listen, I want to honor Pastor and Pastor John today for just believing and investing in the next generation of this church. Come on, let's put our hands together. I really believe, and I've just read this from a pastor this past week, a church that's not focused on improving, casting vision, and investing into the next generation will be extinct in 20 years. And so I appreciate our pastors who believe in youth and children. Carrie and I say between us, like, I don't think pastors ever said no to us about youth and children things, even in a good way, not in an unhealthy way, but in a good way. And so I appreciate that. I love this generation. I told you last week as we stood our graduates up here, I believe in this generation. I have a lot of hope for where the church is going and where this country is going. I told you last week, I can't involve myself in conversations that predict and prophesy doom and gloom on our nation because of the young people I get to hang out with. Recently, I was in the last day of school. I was in my son's class, his kindergarten class. It was the last day of school and his birthday, same day. He had a half a day. He didn't sleep for like 3 days because he was so excited for his birthday. And so, yeah, it was. We were very weary that week. And so we decided to bring donuts to his class. They had a half a day. Instead of cupcakes or cake, we brought Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, you guys are hungry now. Dunkin' Donuts to his class just to celebrate his birthday. Big deal. Passing them out, we brought donuts and milk. And I'm going around, I'm just filling up these cups of milk. And one of Jack's friends kind of calls me over, says, "Mr. Mowerman," which, you know, still to this day, I think somebody's calling my dad, but, "Mr. Mowerman, come here." And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "You know how the air touches everything?" And I thought about it. I said, "Yeah, I guess it does. I guess air touches everything." She said, "Well, if you touch the air, you touch everything at once." And she went like this, and she touched the air. And I said, I said, "That's amazing." And I was walking away, and she called me back over, and she said, "I know it's amazing. I just made it up." So I believe today has been amazing already. I believe God has an amazing word for you. I don't think I just made it up, but we'll see how this rolls out. Three verses I want to read to you today. At the end, I want to give us some time to pray and respond to the song we were just singing here. Our first verse is, you guys can turn. I'll give you a couple moments here to turn. Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And then we're going to head over to 2 Peter 5. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. And then we're going to head over to 2 Peter, and we're going to read one more verse in the Old Testament. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you're not there, you didn't bring your Bible, it's on the screen for you this morning. We give props to Brandon today, who's helping us out. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you." Everyone say all. "All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart. I love that. Here's why I can teach you. I have no agenda here. I have your heart as my interest. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. Everyone say easy. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Everyone say light. Everyone say take. Everyone say easy. Everyone say light. 2 Peter 5:7. Flip over in your Bible, or you can look on the screen here. One verse. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. One more time. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. Come on, say, He cares about me. He cares about me. And one last verse here. These are our three verses we're going to talk about today. Proverbs 16:3. I know I'm going quick, but I've put it on the screen for you. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. Can we read this one together? One, two, three. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. This morning, the title of this message is Take, Throw, and Roll. Well, Brandon, it almost had roll in there. Well, I don't know. Maybe you could fix it. We'll take, throw, and roll. Say it with me. Take, throw, and roll. In school, in elementary school, they usually have fire officials, fire men who come in, and they teach you how to what? Stop, drop, and roll. And I pray today, in a funny way, this will be a new saying in your life, that when we this will make sense in a minute, I promise, that we will take, throw, and roll when it comes to Jesus. Can we pray one more time today? Will you guys pray with me? This is the time we pray for ourselves, that we would hear the Holy Spirit and we'd hear what He wants to say to us. Come on, let's pray. You pray with me. Pray for yourself. Father, we thank You for Your word. It's so amazing. Thank You for how it washes us. Thank You for Your anointed word. Thank You that we could close this service right now because Your word is so amazing. It's already ministering to us. And we pray right now in this space of time that You would speak to us. We declare we're good soil today. We declare that Your word goes inside of our lives. It goes down deep. It produces fruit. It produces a harvest that is 100-fold in our life. And we ask You to change us and rearrange us and do what Your word does today. We give You permission to do that. Come on, you got to pray. You're praying for yourself today. We give You permission. We declare our ears are open. Our hearts are open. We're ready to hear whatever You have to say to us today. Change us today, Lord. Let us see You in a new light today. In Your name we pray. Everybody said, come on, everybody said. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you very much. Brandon is awesome today. Say it with me one more time. Take, throw, and roll. There's a show on television. It's on A&E, and it's a show called Hoarders. I don't know how many of you have seen it before. Maybe you've seen a clip of it. Maybe you've read about it. To be honest, it's a show I can't really watch. It's a show I've probably seen maybe one or two clips of just for a couple minutes. Basically, the show is what it says. It's a reality television show about people who have the condition, who have the mental problem of hoarding items in their house. It's a show. It focuses on those people. It's a real compulsive mental disorder, and it's called hoarding. Picture the messiest person you know, no pointing in the room if you're related, okay? Times it by 10, and then inject that mess with steroids, and you have the show, Hoarders, okay? Basically, this disorder cripples a person with the inability to throw a certain item away out of their life, okay? Everyone say throw, okay? We're getting there. I'm going to show you what this means in a minute. Some of those items include food, clothing, furniture, and even animals. I'll spare you all the gross stuff this morning, but it's unbelievable. It's actually really sad what some of these people go through. That item, whatever they're hoarding in their life, begins to overtake their life. It slows them down and eventually cripples them in all ways possible. They literally become stuck in their mess. They cannot advance in life. Most people who have this disorder, they don't begin, the average, there's a lot of averages on this. People that have this mental disorder begin having this at age 13, average, but don't usually, so embarrassed, don't recognize it, don't begin to seek help until they're well into their 50s. Okay, it makes people be stuck. They become stuck in their mess. People are fascinated by this show. Many of the stories are sad, and the people behind the show, in all reality, are really trying to help these people in their problems. Here's a couple facts. 3 million people are living today are diagnosed with this disorder called hoarding. Hoarding is recognized by medical professionals as an actual mental and chemical disease. And the average cost for cleanup for someone who is hoarding is $16,000. Now, I personally don't know anybody who suffers from this, and I don't know if you do or anything. I'm not making light of this today, but I see a parallelism happening in the church when it comes to hoarding. I'm not trying to make light of this, but I want to draw this comparison. You see, I recognize it, and I recognize it sometimes in myself, and I recognize it sometimes in you. I recognize it sometimes in the way that we drag ourselves into church. I recognize it sometimes how we're not in church sometimes. I recognize it in our expressions and our frustrations, our agitation. I recognize sometimes that there are some of us, me first. This message for me is something that the Lord has spoken into my life recently. Any good minister, pastor will tell you this, any good minister is only preaching something that the Lord has dealt with in their own heart. They've already answered their own altar call before they've ever preached this message. And so this is fresh for me. I believe that there are some of us sometimes that we are dragging, we are hoarding things in our life that we were never supposed to gather up. They are things that belong to Jesus. They are things we were supposed to cast onto Jesus. We are supposed to take, throw, and roll onto his life because he paid the price for it. But yet I see it. I don't know if you're familiar with this expression, but there's the show, the cartoon Peanuts, Snoopy, Charlie Brown. And there's a thing called the Charlie Brown walk. Usually this happens when Charlie Brown is rejected by the little redhead girl in the cartoons. And there's always this slow montage of Charlie Brown or Linus or some character walking back home all alone with this background piano music. And usually his walk looks like this. His hands are pointed this way and his head is down and he's sad. And the sad piano music is playing. Sometimes some of us look like that as Christians. The reason why, I think, is sometimes we're carrying too much on our shoulders that we were never meant to. We are hoarding things that Jesus has called us to take, to give to him. We're holding on to things, we're carrying things, dare I say, hoarding things that in actuality belong to Jesus. I think this summer is going to be awesome. We have amazing events. Pastor was just sharing some of these events that we have. We have June conference. How many remember last summer was amazing? Those of you that were here, this summer is going to be amazing because God is bringing in the people that we need to hear this summer. We have our youth conference. We have our vacation Bible school. We've been having amazing prayer meetings on Friday nights. Those of you that haven't been able to come, you need to come because that's the heartbeat of our church is happening there on Friday nights. Our Sunday services, our prayer services are going to be amazing this summer. And everybody said amen because you're in agreement with that. But I think some of you are going to miss out. Some of us will miss out if we keep trying to hoard or hold on to the things that Jesus has called us to give to him. I don't know what it looks like to you. It could look like a billion different things. And sometimes, as preachers, we don't like to give such a particular list because we could limit what the Holy Spirit is actually saying to you. But I think some of you are worrying, in anxiety, in fear. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's something in your marriage. Maybe it's about finances. Maybe it's about your health. But you are trying to keep it all to yourself. You're trying to work it out. You're trying to find a solution all by yourself, and it's not what you're called to do. Relationships, attitudes, mentalities, sin, finances, our emotions, healing in our bodies. I want us to take a look at these verses again. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. The word in this. Come to me, all of you who are weary. Go to the next one, Brandon. Take my yoke. Everyone say take. That word in the Greek is the Greek word that means to deliberately take up his yoke. It means that you are going after his yoke on purpose. It has the connotation that in order to take what Jesus has for you, you have to actually take whatever's on you and put it aside to take what he has. So you're not only taking up something, but you are taking off something in your life. Make sense? There's a great picture. Some of these Greek words have great pictures for us to see. Yoke in the Greek means yoke. Okay? It's a wooden yoke that joins animals together. You guys know the purpose. I should have had Farmer Bracken come up here and just give a good, better explanation than I'm going to give here. But two animals are joined together so that their combined strength to pull a load that generally would have been too difficult for one animal to pull itself. A yoke makes them a team and makes that team inseparable. They were stronger, and their combined strength make the task easier. Everyone say, take. When Jesus says take, he's saying, I have something for you. It's not hard, but in order for you to take it up, you have to do it on purpose. You don't just fall into it. You don't do it accidentally, and you actually have to take off your worry, your anxiety, the things that are stressing you out to take up my yoke. We have to take. Yoke also in the day of Jesus also meant, when he's saying this, the people that are reading this, the people that he's teaching to, they would understand that a yoke in that day also meant the teaching of a rabbi. Rabbis at that day, what they taught and what they said about life, it was called their yoke. Does that make sense? And so if you were following a certain rabbi, you were taking up their yoke in life. So you were following their ways, how they interpreted scripture, how they went about application of scripture in their life. So you were taking up their yoke. The word easy here, my yoke is easy. It means pleasurable, delightful. And get this, even comfortable. Even comfortable. Sometimes we love Jesus, but we're gritting our teeth loving him. We're serving him. We're coming Sunday. We're coming Wednesday. We're tithing, but we're doing it with a snarl on our face. And I think that is sometimes an indication of what we're trying to carry on our own. And Jesus said, take up my yoke. It's easy. And when you begin to serve me, it'll be delightful in your life. If you're missing joy in your life, it's because you have something on you that you're not supposed to have. Jesus and joy are a package deal. Did you guys know that? When you are serving Jesus, joy is a part of the deal. He said it in Luke, when he announced his birth, when the angels announced his birth, the angel said to the shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. The good news is Jesus. Jesus and joy are inseparable. Let's look at 1 Peter 5:7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. In other versions, it says the word cast, right? Or casting your cares. That word cast means throw. Everyone say throw. It doesn't just mean like a little throw. It means a violent throw. You are taking that thing off of you and you're throwing it as hard as you can onto God. He's saying, throw this thing at me. Throw a spiral at me. Just take that thing, whatever that worry and that anxiety is, and just rip it off of your life and throw it onto me. That's what Peter is telling us, that we are to cast all of our worries on him. This word is found two times in Scripture. It's found here, and it's also found in Luke 19, when Jesus is entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and when the people are casting down their garments before him. Two times in Scripture that word is used. There's no clearer picture of Jesus' lordship in your life than when you trust him with the things that worry you. You see that picture there? People just putting their garments out because the king is coming. If Jesus is Lord of your life, then you will give him your worries on a continual basis. Cares, in here. Cares mean anything that causes you worry. He cares means that he's concerned, thoughtful, interested, and he's taking notice in your life. Everyone say take. Take his yoke. Everyone say throw. And I want you to say roll. We'll find out what this one is. Go ahead to Proverbs, Brandon. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. That word for commit means to take whatever you think is important and to roll it on to Jesus. It means to roll it off of your responsibility, off of your shoulders, and commit it to him. And the promise is he will establish your plans. We might have other ideas of commitment. I guarantee if I walked around with a microphone and began to interview you and said, hey, what does commitment mean to you? What does it mean to commit? I bet you nobody in this place would say that to commit or to be committed means that you shirk your responsibility onto somebody else. But Jesus said, hey, in Proverbs, we're told by Solomon that the idea of commitment unto the Lord is to take our responsibilities and give it to Jesus and see what he does of it. And that's an amazing thing. And the promise is that he will establish. That word establish means stability. He will bring stability. Martin, you with me back there, buddy? He'll bring stability to your life. If you have shaky areas of your life, there are some things that you need to commit to the Lord. There are some things you need to roll off of yourself and give to him. You know how we know we're shaky? Sometimes we don't even know it, but the people around us know that we're shaky in some of those areas because our insecurity and our shakiness begins to spill out on everybody else around us. Hey, I've been guilty of that time and time again. My unstable parts of life sometimes begin to affect the people closest to me. Sometimes I don't even recognize it. But if you feel you are on shaky ground, you need to roll some things onto him. Well, my kids were babies, one of my favorite things, not just babies, but when they were fat babies. Fat babies with like rolls and stuff like that. I see Barbara here. Barbara, Jim, your husband, used to call Claire snacks because she had these great meaty thighs that he said I could just snack on. And so to this day in my house, we call Jim and Barbara Uncle Snacks and Aunt Snacks because of that. One of my favorite things to do with... This is sad for us because we just realized this at Jack's kindergarten graduation. We're sitting there. Mike and Ann are there, and Bill and Tammy are there for Curtis. And Carrie looks at me and said, we don't have any babies anymore. Then I rebuked her. Told her, get behind me, Satan. Okay. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. When, and the neepers are saying you guys are amateurs, okay? So when I had these fat babies in my house who, you know, could barely sit up, and sometimes because they were fat and uncoordinated, they would just fall over and hit their head on stuff. And so you'd have to put pillows around them and keep them around from, edges of furniture and stuff like that. My favorite thing to do was to come home and grab a little ball and just roll it back and forth to them. Just to roll. Everyone say roll. But the reality of that was, is that my little fat babies, they weren't doing a good job of playing catch with dad. Their idea of rolling, sometimes the ball would end up behind them, you know, knocking things over. It end up 2 inches in front of them, and they're looking at me like, why aren't you getting this? And a lot of the time, me playing catch or rolling the ball with my children was a lot of me just going after whatever they ruled as a father. I want you guys to see this picture as a father. The Bible says that if we will draw near to him, he will draw near to us. We don't have to be professional rollers when it comes to our problems. If we just get it off of us, God will find it, because that's grace. You guys catch that? He loves us. He'll go, and if we're rolling it this way, he'll go get clean up our mess and bring it and say, okay, I like my little fat baby. You know, maybe he doesn't say that, okay, but he will grab our messes, and he will go after, because that is the grace and love of our Father. I'm talking to you today about the things that you're carrying on your life that you're not supposed to. The frustrations, the anxieties, the worries, the problems, the uncertainties in your life that you're trying to deal with on your own. You're not supposed to. We're not supposed to. I dealt with this recently in my life. I mean, just this is fresh for me. I was going through a very frustrating situation. Nothing I was doing was working. And this is a situation in my life where it's worked out in the past. My own strengths, my own giftings have helped me get through this situation. But I'm standing there, and everything about this situation is falling apart. And even though I'm doing my best effort, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, I'm asking God to do it. And then I got smacked in the face with that verse in Proverbs. Not really, because he's really gentle. But I remember I was opening up my Bible and doing my reading for my daily time. And that verse came across, and I understood. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit whispered to me, "You haven't committed this thing to me. You think you have, but you haven't. You need to roll that thing on to me, Andre." And I can't tell you what a lifting of that burden that was for me and how things began to change in my life in that situation almost immediately. The worry, the anxiety. And even though I was doing my own best efforts, it was not working. I believe that the kingdom that we're in is one of movement. It's one of advancement. It's one of growth. I think the Bible says that we are what? We're moving from glory to glory. And that's part of the sign, part of the fruit of our lives, that we are following hard after Jesus. That today I don't look like the same person I was yesterday. And that tomorrow on Monday morning, I'm going to be a little bit better. I'm going to know Jesus a little bit more. And a week from now, I'm going to be changing. And a year from now, I'm not going to look like this guy standing before you right now in the Spirit, right? And for the rest of our lives, this is our journey, that we are growing from glory to glory. This is his kingdom, that we are advancing and moving forward in momentum. Hello? But I think there are some things that keep us. There are walls that happen in our life that keep us from advancing. And I want to talk to you about four walls that I see, and we're going to close in prayer after I talk to you about these four walls. When it comes to particularly casting our cares, taking up that yoke, say it with me, take, throw, and roll. When it comes to those areas of our life of giving him the things that are precious to us, that are dear, that are troubling us, there are sometimes walls that we create in our lives that keep us from advancing. We create them ourselves. I laugh sometimes. I've been guilty of this, and sometimes people are. You know, we will be in a room, and we'll be praying, and we'll be declaring against oppressive spirits and these things lifting off of me. I wonder sometimes if the angels just laugh at us. Because sometimes what we feel as oppression isn't really oppression. It's our bad choices that we're living in. It's our stagnant, staleness, non-movement. And today I think God, for some of you in this room, he wants to break some walls off of your life right at the beginning of summer. I'm with you in this journey today. Is that cool? Four walls that keep us from taking, throwing, and rolling. Number one, this is the first wall that we come up against. Thinking that God is not for us in all things. Thinking that God is not for us in all things. Everyone say all things. Romans 8:31 tells us, if God is for you, then what? Who can be against you? Later in that same passage, Paul says, I am convinced. I'm convinced. Everyone say, I'm convinced. And he goes on to say that nothing can separate me from God's love. I'm convinced about this. I'm convinced. Say it again. I'm convinced. We might say that sometimes. I'm not sure we always believe it, that God is always for us in all situations. I want to ask you guys today, are you convinced this morning that nothing separates the love of God from you? Not even our screw-ups. Are you convinced in every area of life? Sometimes we can be convinced that God is for us in one area and act in faith and be bold and courageous in one area, but there'd be a whole other area of our life that our actions tell ourselves and the people around us that we don't believe that God is for us in that area. We have to be convinced. Say it one more time. I'm convinced. I was talking with a friend at Starbucks a few months ago, and this friend was just pouring out their heart about something that was going on in their family, and it was hard for me. I was feeling for this friend. And they began to just go down the list of things of what was happening. And the friend turned to me and said, Why is God allowing this to happen? Why is God causing this to happen? I'm going to say to you, it's okay if you've felt that and have questioned that before in your life. God's not intimidated by your questions. He's not even intimidated when we believe a lie like that sometimes. And can I say, by the way, us pastors sometimes don't have all the right answers. Sometimes we're just as dumbfounded as you are about different situations in life. And sometimes in the own things of our life. But I remember saying to my friend, I don't think God is doing this. And just taking him through different scriptures and saying, I don't think that God is making this happen. Spending a few moments, the best I could, stumbling and mumbling through these things and trying to pull verses out of the top of my head like we do sometimes, trying to encourage. And at the end, my friend sat back in his chair and he said, thank you. I've never really looked at God from that perspective in this area. Sometimes we just need a perspective change in a certain area of our life. I'm here to tell you today that God is for you in all things, every area of your life. And if you don't believe that, that'll become a wall for you. That'll become something that you will stop trusting God with the things that matter in your life, whether you believe it or not, for whatever reason. One of the ways that we break that wall was through worship. Worship is such a big deal. Mike and the team, thank you guys for leading us so wonderfully this morning. You guys did an awesome job. Worship is a big deal because it points our mentalities to him, and it makes us realize that he's bigger than my problems, and he's big and I'm small. And that's why sometimes the act of lifting up your hands is a big deal, because it is a prophetic act of surrender, and you cannot lift your hands sincerely, in the natural or prophetically, if you're carrying things that you're trying to hold on to you. And sometimes the breakthrough comes when you lift up your hands and you let those things fall off of you. Worship is important. God is for you. Some of you need to hear that today. There's one thing in your life you think he's not for you in, he's not answering your prayer about. God's for you in that thing too, as well. Second wall I want to talk to you today about is fear. Fear is a wall that will stop our momentum and stop us from taking his yoke, throwing our cares, and rolling our commitments onto him. I'm not sure that there's a bigger enemy that we have to contend with in life than fear. The reason why fear is a big deal, because where there is fear in your life, love is not there. And the reason why we know that is because when perfect love comes into a situation, it does what? Cast out, right? Cast. It throws it out of the situation. Okay, if there is a situation in your life and you're operating from a place of fear, God's love is not in that situation to the full measure that it can be. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, Paul tells us that God has not given us a spirit of what? But one of power, love, and sound mind. If it's not from God, why do we want it? Why do we want it? If it's not from God, why do we want it? Why do we want to take and hold on to something and think about something and go to bed thinking about it, waking up and being in fear if it's not from God? But some of us are crippled by fear in our life. And God is saying, hey, just let my love break through. Let my love come in and melt this fear away. I'm just waiting for you to throw that thing onto me and just take up my yoke, because it's a lot easier than this fear yoke that you're carrying around. I'm waiting for you. Just put down that fear and pick up my love. Hello? It's deliberate. Fear will cripple you. Anytime we operate from a place of fear, it creates distance in our relationship with God. How about fear affects our outlook? It affects our prayer life. Fear affects our generosity with our time and our money. It affects our relationships with the people in our life. If you're a fearful people, you will keep people at a distance forever if you're full of fear. Hello? You'll be scared. You'll build a wall, and you'll be stuck when you're supposed to be advancing glory to glory in your life. Fear also has a way of making us want to control things around us. It makes us more manipulative. It makes us want to hold on to things that we should be given to Jesus. It makes us want to hold on to certain people in our life when they're not supposed to be there because of fear. Some of you guys didn't hear that. It makes you want to hold on to relationships and certain people, and it makes because of fear, because you're trying to control them, because you don't know what it looks like when you let go of that relationship, what it's going to feel like. Don't let fear control you. Fear brings bondage in your life. That is the reality of it. It is not from God, and anytime there is fear, there is bondage. If you are walking in an area of fear, you are not free. Where fear is, there is not liberty. Those two things can't exist together. But the easy thing that we can do today is take up his yoke. It's easy, he said. And all we have to do is throw it, and we can be a little fat baby and try to roll it as best we can, and God's going to come and pick it up from us, and then fear's gone. Fear is melted from our life today. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do this before we leave here today. Four walls, thinking that God is not for us in all things. Fear. Third one is trusting a wall. This is a wall for us. Trusting in our own strengths, giftings, personalities, and performance more than his grace. That's a wall in our lives. When we trust in our own strengths, our own giftings, our personalities, and performance more than his grace. Everyone say grace. It's really easy sometimes to go on autopilot as a Christian, especially if you've been a Christian a long time. What's worked for me in the past will work for me now. This is who I am. This is how God made me. Don't we love to say that kind of nonsense? This is how, you're just going to have to deal with this. This is how God made me. You're laughing because you said it like me, right? Okay. How many know this? We can operate strong in our giftings, and Jesus be nowhere in the middle of it. The Bible says that the gifts of God are without repentance. You can be gifted in an area and be flowing in that area of giftedness, and Jesus have nothing to do with what you're doing. That's why sometimes the things we're strong in are also our weaknesses. We also can think that we deserve something because we've been on good behavior. Right? I've read my Bible. I've tithed. I think I said tithe. Tied my shoes and I tithed. We prayed our prayers. We lifted our hands an average of 2.2 times per second during every worship song today. We even took our vitamins and ate our Wheaties. And because I did all those things, then God has to do this. That's a wall for you when you begin to say that things have to happen because of your performance. Here's the truth. What God wants to do for you and in you and through you has nothing to do with your strengths, has nothing to do with your performance, and it has everything to do with his grace. Say it with me, grace. The moment we forget is the moment we start picking up other yokes and start taking up more than we're supposed to carry. The moment you start thinking it's about what I'm doing or about what I'm strong in or about how God made me and this is my personality, okay, is the moment that you start taking up something that you're not supposed to, the moment that you stay stagnant and not moving. Grace is a free gift. Listen to this. Grace is a free gift that cost him everything. It's free to us, but it cost him everything. That's why it's scandalous. That's why it doesn't make sense to us sometimes. That's why people mess up grace and think it means one thing when it doesn't. Okay, but that's why we need to receive it freely, because it doesn't cost us anything. We haven't paid anything for it. Right? Cost him everything, and it's free to us. Grace is bigger than a concept. It's a person. It's Jesus. Jesus is grace. When we receive grace, we're receiving Jesus in our life. Our identity as sons and daughters is never about worth. It's always about birth. It's never about whether you're worthy enough. It's about your birth. It's about you being born into the kingdom. I love my kids. I love them not based on their performance. I could walk past their rooms this morning and see that they were messy and say, "You are not worthy to be my child today. Do not even sit by me in church. You're not worthy to stand next to the preacher today." How ridiculous would it be? But we reverse that mentality and think that's how God looks at us. Our worth is not, our identity is not determined by our worth. whether we've done the right things. It's determined by our birth. We're born again. So guess what? It's free. We're sons and daughters. All of us, our mess, our personalities, our strengths, our weaknesses. Here we are, God. This is who we are. And he loves us just the same. And something about that grace is that's the thing that draws us in to him closer and causes us to want to change and be like him. It's about birth, not worth. My love for my children is not conditional. God's love for you is not conditional. Never changes. He's never going to love you more, and he's never going to love you less. That right now, in upstairs in our new room today, Beth and Joe Hackett are teaching our children for the first time, and they're teaching them about this very concept today, that God's love is unconditional. What they're going to do today to illustrate this point is take a red blanket and throw it all over all the kids. They're going to be laughing. They're not going to know it's coming. And all around them is going to be red, and they're going to be tangled up in it. And they're going to make the lesson today that God's love envelops us. And it's all around us, and it surrounds us today. That's a great picture for us, too, us adults here as well. By the way, you better come up and visit us up there, because we have snow cones. And who doesn't want a snow cone before you leave today? Our sonship, our daughtership is not based on hard work. It's based on Jesus' finished work on the cross. And that's it. Last one. And I think today this is where my focus is and what I want us to pray on, maybe even more than some of these that I've talked about. The last wall in our life, sometimes we put up, is a wall happens in our life. Momentum stops in our life when we don't take the time to listen to the Holy Spirit. Not taking the time to listen to the Holy Spirit becomes a wall in your life. I have a little problem I want to confess to you today. My problem is called the grocery bag problem in my life. Anytime somebody in my family comes home from the store, they've gone a big shopping, I think it is my duty as a man to take every single grocery bag in at one time. I saw Matt. Matt's with me back there. Bill, thank you, okay? A, it's twofold. One, I just want to show off. Two, I don't want to make another trip. But what happens, all the men are laughing, and thank you, man. I'm not alone up here. Wives are pointing, okay? I have this problem. I try to do it all the time. And sometimes I have like 40 bags in two hands. And I begin to tell, like, the people around me, like Marissa and Carrie and my kids, like, I worked at a grocery store. I'm an expert in this. I know how to do this. I worked for, like, 5 years at a grocery store. So I got this. You just put all that down. Go ahead into the house. I'll take this woman. Okay, I don't say the woman part, but but what often happens, and I'll oftentimes take more than I can carry, and things will just begin to fall out along the way. And my little son will come and, Daddy, I got that. I got that too. Claire, can you help Daddy? He's dropping more stuff here. Carrie started getting a little smart about this. When I'd come out to the car, she'd say, I'll take the eggs and the bread. You can do whatever you want to do with the rest. I started realizing this in the last couple of months. I thought, what's going on here? She doesn't have faith in my help here. Not listening to the Holy Spirit is a wall in our life, because the Holy Spirit's function in our life is to be the helper. He's the paraclete. He's the helper. When we refuse his help, we're like that picture of me, just like going down the sidewalk and, like, you know, I got 40 bags and 39 are on the sidewalk. Sometimes we do that spiritually. Holy Spirit is saying, let me help you. Let me tell you something. I think if you do it this way, or if I show you this thing, it'll work out better for you. There won't be damage in your life. You won't have to backtrack. Go pick up something. You won't have to start over if you just listen to me. When Jesus says to us in the Gospels, and he tells the disciples, I have to go so that he can come, that should be our first indication of how important he is. Jesus said, I love you guys. I've done a great thing, but I got to go because his function in your life is important. I have to go take my place to go pray for you right now. And he's coming to help you. That word, when Jesus said, I'm going to send you the paraclete, at that time when they were hearing Jesus talk about that, when people are reading that in the original language, they would have understood paraclete in a way that maybe we wouldn't have understood at that time. It would have represented three different types of help when Jesus said that. So instantly, when Jesus says, I have to leave to send you the paraclete, they would have instantly had three pictures of what the paraclete was in their life, because it was just normal. A paraclete was an actual person in the time. It was used to describe certain jobs. The first one was like a coach or an inspirational person. And so like a troop of soldiers, they would bring in a person, a paraclete, who would come and inspire them to battle. And that person would be called a paraclete. Second thing they would have recognized is that a paraclete would have been an expert. He'd have had so much knowledge about one area. And they'd say, hey, we got to bring a paraclete in so he can teach us about this one area so that we can become experts too. The third thing a paraclete would be like a witness in a courtroom trial, and he'd be an expert witness on your behalf. So he'd be defending you in court. He would be the advocate. And so when Jesus says, I have to go so that you can receive the paraclete, you could receive this help, he's talking about this kind of help for us. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit is gentle, and he plays different roles in our life. But at times he's trying to inspire us. At times he's coming alongside of us to tell us something about something we need to know. Hey, I'm an expert in this. Let me show you stuff. And when you see things and you feel things in your heart, that is the paraclete coming alongside of you and revealing to you. That's revelation. And sometimes he stands, and sometimes he's our advocate, and sometimes he's defending us in ways we may not even know until we get to heaven. The paraclete is our helper. When we build up a wall and we don't take the time to listen to the Holy Spirit, we're in danger. He wants you to help. He wants to help. When you feel burdened, weighed down, overwhelmed, I guarantee that it's because you aren't taking the time to hear his voice. And how I guarantee that is because that's how it is in my life. When I'm overwhelmed, when I have anxiety in my life, when I'm worried about one of my kids, when I'm worried about my finances, when I'm dwelling on that thing for day in and day out, it's oftentimes because I'm not listening to what the Holy Spirit has to say to me. Those things begin to consume my life, and the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, I got something for you over here. Let me show you something. Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus, and he will always be trying to help you glorify Jesus. Whatever he shows you, whatever he gives you, if he empowers you, you're going to pray. You know, when miracles happen, it's just to bring glory to Jesus. When he speaks to you, when he gives you a prophetic word, when he begins to put an impression on your heart, all those things are not just to cause us not to have fun or not to feel like we're doing something wrong. They're to put us in a direction that will cause us to glorify Jesus. He's our helper today. I want to close with this. I saw the same prophetic picture twice in one week, this week. I saw it once last Sunday night as I was praying with a friend. And then I saw it again Friday night as we were praying for this service here. So I think it's for us here in this room. And the picture that I saw was one of a hot air balloon that was grounded. And I saw it. We'll have Fun Fest here in just a couple weeks, and one of the favorite things that we love to do is go see the hot air balloons that will be there. They're grounded, and they do is it called the night glow or something like that, and they'll fire up that fuel, and it'll light up those balloons at night. It's awesome. It's fun for us. It's our little family tradition. But I saw a picture of a hot air balloon, and I saw it weighed down with sandbags. You guys have seen hot air balloons like that? And what I saw was Jesus coming along with a pair of scissors and just snipping those bags off into his hands and seeing those hot air balloons rise higher and higher. I believe that we're those hot air balloons this morning, that he has something for you. He wants you to cast your cares. He wants you to throw. He wants you to take up his yoke in order to unburden you today, to make your walk with him a little bit lighter, to see you elevate, to move from glory to glory like a balloon would rise today. I think that some of you in this room are not supposed to walk into summer feeling weighed down, whatever you're weighed down in today. I think this is going to be one of the greatest summers for some of you. I think there's going to be breakthroughs in your life. But I think it'll happen as you come this morning, as we've been talking about it, as we're praying about it, as you begin, whatever those things you're worried about, whatever things are troubling you, whether it's children, whether it's finances, all these things we said today and more. As you come and you throw and you come and you roll those things over to him and you come and you take up his yoke, you're going to walk out of here different, changed, enlightened, and your summer's going to be different because of that. Your outlook and your mentality is going to be different. Some of you are dealing with depression, and God wants to take that off of you today. Hello? I just heard that today. There's some of you in this room that are dealing, and that's a general word. There could be 400 of us here in this room that are dealing with that, but I feel like that's for somebody. You were waiting for me to say it today. God wants to take that depression. He wants to cut the scissors off of that and let you go higher today. In Nehemiah, story of Nehemiah is an amazing one in the book. The people of Israel were trying for 70 plus years to rebuild that city and the walls. But a committed man comes along. God begins to speak to somebody named Nehemiah. And what took 70 years of human effort, trying to do it on their own, trying to carry it on their own, took someone who was committed, who was willing to say, God, you have this. I give you my life. I roll this on to you. I take up your yoke. All those things happened in 52 days. What was going on for seven decades happened in 50 some days. I'm believing that for some of you. There's some of you in this room, some of us, I'm including me too, we've been dealing with things in our life for a long time. God wants to break through on your life this morning. Would you stand with me today?